What's going on, guys, and welcome back to the Baseball Rundown with Coach Raz. I'm Ryan Lombardi, alongside Coach, and I mean, hey, three of four to start the season, got him feeling pretty good.
Yeah, no question about it. My first year coaching here at St. Bonaventure, we went down there to Gardner-Webb after a long road trip to New Mexico, and I think we scored one run in four games, so we got it put to us pretty good a couple years ago. So they're a good team. I mean, they've had a good coach. It's been there for a while, and I think they were preseason picked to be one of the top three teams in their conference. So, you know, a quality opponent, and to come out of there 3-1 was definitely, I think, a surprise to a lot of people, except for the people that are in this, you know, working out here at St. Bonaventure. I think we were pretty confident going down there.
Right. I mean, we talked about it, and you thought that you guys were going to take care of business, and which you did. I mean, we'll talk about that first game, the first game of the doubleheader on Friday. You guys won that game handedly. James Capilupo got the win on the mound, and you guys took that one 10-3 with an offensive explosion.
Yeah. You know, we were able to get some runs early. We scored in the first inning of every game this past weekend. So, you know, to get a run early, I know we gave one back up, but, you know, in the fourth, we piled on three more to take a 4-1 lead. Then we took four more in the fifth. So, you know, all of a sudden it's 8-1. You add a couple in the sixth. And, you know, in a shortened seven-inning game, you put up 10 runs. You know, you like your chances. And I think James was good. I don't think he was great, but I thought he settled down. You know, I think early he was a little off. But, you know, the third and fourth inning, I thought were actually – two of his better innings. So, you know, as he builds pitch count up, you know, I could see him, you know, getting a little deeper into games and getting more comfortable. But, you know, this time of the year, we want to be around 70 pitches, right around that mark. So, you know, we had to pull him in the fourth and hand it over to Gabe Watts, who...
It's the guy we talked about last week on this pod.
You know, and it says something. It says something about being prepared the week before and seeing him live. And, I mean, he was just... sensational.
He looked dominant.
It was unbelievable. There was scouts that are obviously there to see Selena game two that were just blown away with what Gabe was doing. I mean, it was 90-93, no walks, six strikeouts in three innings. I mean, he just absolutely shut them down. So until that last inning, he had a little fastball heavy. He got a little confident. It was 10-1. I think you just kind of want to blow some fastballs, and they're a good fastball hitting team for sure. But it was a great outing from our pitchers.
And we'll talk about that, the fastball hitting team, when we talk about Selena. But just a little bit more on the offense. I mean, all around the guys just played great. I mean, almost everybody that played had a hit. I think only Gunning and Cordero, they both got walks though, so everybody got on base in that first game. But Jace Tharnish, I mean, A-10 player of the week. How much of an impact is he?
We've thought that for a while. You know, it was always a matter of him being healthy. And he was very healthy this fall, and we saw what we knew he was capable of doing, and being able to come out his first weekend and just, you know, absolutely show his skill set was fun to watch. You know, I'm happy for Jace. It's been a long road to kind of get to this point. So yeah, it was a great performance, and it started in game one with a 2-for-4 game, and he just kept it rolling through the weekend.
So game two, you guys also win that one a little closer. You win that one 9-8. The big story in that one, Michael Cellina started. He kind of got hit around a little bit towards the end of his outing.
Yeah. You know, again, I think they were preparing for Michael, like, you know, they knew that he was going to bring the heat, and he did. I mean, he touched 101 and, you know, sat there a couple times. So, you know, his ball and play ratio is, you know, not normal for most people. It's a short park. It is. I think it's 265 or 365 to the power alleys, which is, you know, the ball kind of jumps out of there. There's probably two or three that wouldn't have gotten out in a normal size field, but, you know, he's supplying the power when you throw that hard, and you just got to hit the barrel and be on time, and some things will happen for you. But I mean, he threw 3 1/3 innings and had 8 strikeouts and 1 walk. Yeah. So, you know, the stuff was there. It's just when it was put in play, it was hit hard. And he just kind of battled through those innings.
I talked to Antonio Cordero the other day, and he kind of said that he saw Salinas' fastball was running a little bit. Was that a bit of a problem, you think?
Yeah, it's not normal. It was diving on him a little bit, running on him a little bit. And I think when you start throwing hard like that, some just a little bit different of a finger pressure can create that. So, you know, it's something that he's working on. We've got some things for him to do to kind of correct that stuff, but I'm not worried about it. He went out there, threw his pitches, you know, threw a good pitch count, gave us a chance to win. So.
Yeah. And I mean, the guy who kind of sealed the deal for you guys, Luke Rogenberg, comes in. We've seen him in these long relief appearances, 5 2/3, 3 earned runs, but he had 5 strikeouts on the mound.
Yeah. And they were early. You know, he put up 3 zeros to end the game. So it, you know, coming in after Michael, they were ready trying to make their run, and Rog's really settled in and kind of quieted their bats the last 9 outs. So that's who he is, man. He's, you know, he's not going to walk a lot of people. No walks, 5 strikeouts. He'll give up his hits here and there, but, you know, we'll talk about it in game 4. But he fields his position. You know, he's very athletic, and he's going to pound the strike zone, and he's a competitor. And, you know, once the game got close, Rog stepped up and kept putting zeros on the board for us to hold that victory. So it was awesome. It was great to have the first day really come down to 2 seniors that have been here for 4 years, that developed in the program, and have been here through the changes. You know, they were here back when, you know, they had a 5-win season their freshman year. So, you know, they've kind of been through this, and I think they want it just as much as anybody else, but it means a little bit extra to them. So to have them play a big factor in our first 2 wins was really cool, and I was really proud of them.
What are the vibes after a doubleheader sweep? Because obviously you win 1 game, you guys are feeling good, but to go out, go 2-0 on day 1 of the season, I mean, what are the vibes after just leaving the field?
Well, yeah, you're winning a national championship, right? You know, everybody. You know, everybody thinks we're going to go undefeated. So, you know, it was great. It was a great feeling to kind of see all the hard work come together and go out and put a performance like that on day 1. I mean, we didn't make an error on the first day, you know. So we didn't make an error, and we only walked 2 guys. I mean, you do that, it's a recipe for success. So I think it was a lot of fun. It was a confidence builder for us. The bus ride back to the hotel was great. You know, music was playing, guys were singing, the vibes were great. So, and you want them to kind of have those moments where they're feeling great about themselves. So, you know, you couldn't have asked for a better opening day.
And I mean, yeah, you get some home runs on opening day, Jace Tharnish, David Marshall, and then Connor Vercalone, you put one out in game 2. So, what do you see from him, too? He went 2-for-4 in that game.
It's not a surprise. I think Connor can swing it. I think he's a very dangerous 9-hole hitter, you know, or 8. You know, if Paul's playing, Paul's usually in the 9 and he's in the 8. If Paul's not playing, then Connor's in the 9. But I feel like we can hit 1 through 9. I mean, we wouldn't run him out there if we didn't think that he could do some damage. And he can. He's got electricity in his stick, and he's very fast, and, you know, when the wind's not blowing 30 miles per hour, he's a very good defender. So, you know, it's Connor's somebody we have a lot of faith in. And we think anybody in our lineup, 1 through 9, can do that. So, not surprised.
And then Saturday, you guys end up losing that one. Kind of like a back-and-forth game, have 1 blow-up inning, and it kind of sets the tone for the rest of the game. Just, I mean, talk about that game, and I'll let you break it down.
Yeah, that's the game that stung a little bit, right? You know, because I think going into the 5th inning, we're up 13-1, and our pitcher's got a no-hitter going. You know, I mean, David James is rolling, and it is sharp command. I mean, it was really good stuff. And just one of those unfortunate moments where a ball got hit back and bounced off the turf and hit him right in a funny spot on his throwing arm and kind of made the arm go a little numb and tightened up a little bit. And, you know, he knew there was some tingling going on in his hands. Structurally, it felt fine. He wanted to throw a couple of warm-up pitches. You know, and he threw a couple warm-up pitches. And when you're cruising like that, you want to try to battle through it. And, you know, he looked at me and says, I'm good to go. You know, get out of here. You know, like he wanted the ball. The very next batter, you could tell it was different. You know, he didn't have command of his off-speed pitches, things he needed to spin. He was just kind of ripping fastballs. And, again, this is a really good fastball hitting team. So, you know, it sucks because we had – you know, we had that game in hand. We had to rush our bullpen to get ready. And then we had to rush somebody to get up behind, you know, and it just, you know, we ran three or four guys out there and they just weren't ready to go out there and compete and throw pitches in the zone. And, you know, when you give up eight walks and two innings, or it's not a recipe for success. So, you know, unfortunate. It's not what we wanted to do. But,
I think also,
I don't know if Sunday happens the way it does if we go out and just cruise that game three and, you know, we hold on and win or blow them out or whatever situation would have happened there. I don't know how Sunday shakes out, you know. So you live and learn. I think it's a learning experience for us. It's early in the year. It sucks. It's not the way we drew it up, and it sucks to lose a game that you have such good command of like that, but you know what happens? It happens. It's college baseball. They're kids. They're going to make mistakes, and you live and learn.
Yeah, I think also with that, it's when your pitcher's cruising like that, the bullpen's just chilling. They're watching. They have no desire to really get loose and get into that game. So it's kind of just a tough thing.
Yeah, I mean, we had to rush Alex out there. Alex is a guy that, like, you know, Alex Barger is a guy that likes to get a full warm up in and, you know, get all of his pitches going. And he just had, you know, he had to rush. And, you know, they give you time to get ready on the mound. You know, there's not a time limit when there's an injury like that, but you're still rushing.
Yeah.
You know, you're still rushing. And he hit two guys and walked a guy and had a wild pitch. And, you know, just unfortunate, not what you're looking for. And, you know, we ran Connor Wolf out there, and, you know, then he hit a guy and he walked a guy. And, you know, Alex is a guy we have a lot of confidence in. And when he didn't have it, we went to the lefty that, you know, with a good changeup, and he got some outs. But, you know, Connor's a one inning guy. You know, he's not someone we want to throw out there for more than one inning. And we asked more of him than he's used to. And then we had Cade, who's a senior, who's had big moments for us, and he was off. You know, three straight walks without recording an out. And at that point, you just want somebody to throw strikes, which Chance Moore is, but, you know, he didn't walk a lot of guys, but got hit around pretty good. So it's just, you know, you get a lot of walks, then you get a guy that doesn't walk a lot of guys, but gets hit around a little bit, you know, and that's kind of what happens. And, you know, credit to
domino effect.
Yeah, it really was. And, you know, as a coach, it's a helpless feeling. You got a starter that's cruising, and, you know, then you run five guys out there to try to stop the bleeding, and it just didn't happen. So, you know, like I said, you live and learn from those experiences, and they credit to them. I mean, they had some clutch hits. I remember one of the plays where Paul Vossen's at the fence line, and, you know, it's two outs with runners on, and, you know, if he had been a little bit more aware where the fence was, he probably could have robbed one of those home runs. It was a paint, you know, scraper off the fence, but, you know, that stuff happens. So credit to them battling back, not giving up, taking advantage of an opportunity that we created for them.
And then in game four, you guys get it done, win 11-10. Gets a little scary at the end, but you guys get the job done and take the series 3-1.
Yeah, you know, With the pitching that we had to use in game three and then extending Rods and Gabe a little bit in game one and two, and using Chance Moore, Chance was kind of our projected starter for game four, but we had to bring him in game three to try to stop the bleeding and secure that win, which didn't happen. we got to turn to a freshman. You know, so we run out Sam Baruch, who, you know, we have a lot of confidence in, but I don't think it was on our bingo card for him to start game four of opening weekend. But he did a great job. I mean, he really went out there and slowed the pace and pounded the strike zone pretty well, you know, and gave us a chance to kind of score some runs and hold on to those runs. But, you know, when you come out of the gate and you score 7 runs in the first 2 innings and 8 runs in the first 3 innings, you know, you just got to kind of weather the storm and hope they're not matching you. And, you know, Sam gave us a chance to kind of hold that lead. And then we tried the massive bullpen effect again. And, you know, we're bringing out another freshman in Jackson Ross, who got us out of an inning, but then, you know, walked a couple the next inning. And then we went to another senior in Cam Demos. His control wasn't on. And, you know, you bring in Ryan Klimatowski, who's been waiting 3 years to pitch here. You
know, kind of showed 2 balks, right?
Right. You know, so. I think he got a little anxious because, you know, had a surgery, took a 2-year recovery, you know, waiting a long time to pitch. And just, I think it was first time jitters, you know, went out there, had a couple balks, walked in some runs. And then a guy who's, you know, struggled with control a little bit, Tom Wilkie, came out and pounded the strike zone.
He looked great.
He was great, you know, and I think that's something that we talk a lot about is taking advantage of the opportunities that you have. And Tom did that and gave us, you know, a couple innings there to try to get it to the 7th. I thought we could throw Gabe for 2 innings, and I thought we could throw Rogs for 1 inning. So we're just trying to get to the 7th, and Tom did that for us. So, you know, we got Gabe get loose, came out again, 4 strikeouts in 1 2/3 inning, no hits.
Awesome right now.
No runs. And then Rogs comes out in the 9th, and, you know, he threw a lot on Friday. So we're asking, you know, he told us that he was ready and he could give us an inning, but it's still a tough turnaround. And, you know, so he did something he's not typically, you know, known for doing and actually hit 2 guys. And then we had an error at short. So it was like an error, you know, 2 hit batters. And then the play that kind of locked it up for us in our mind. You know, there was a comebacker to him that was a rocket, and he fielded that ball and turned so fast to third and threw a dart to Harrison Kaufman, who we just put in as a defensive replacement for Ryan Cusey. And Harrison took it, snapped it to first, and we got a huge double play. And that's one of the reasons we like Rogs, right? Like, he's not going to freak out in that moment. He threw a dart, perfect strike to third base so we could turn that double play. And then we got a line out to end the game and, you know, be able to walk out of there 3-1 with the feeling that we were in command most of those 4 games. So, it was, we threw 15 pitchers. So,
15 different pitchers and you go 3-1. That feels pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So before we get into what this weekend's going to look like, we'll take a look. I love this baseball analytics page. I know your son runs it. But Exit Velo, Chris Holcraft, number 1, 108.4. Mike Gunning was 2. And, I mean, he had a great weekend as well. Another guy, that's your boy, 105.8. Paul Vossen, 103.5. And Mike Gunning again. In game 4, we went 104 miles an hour. And then just the pitching, Cellino was consistently over 100. Tom Wilkie got up to 94. Gabe Watts got to 93. Where was he sitting last year, Watts mainly?
88 and would touch 90.
Yep.
Yeah.
So he's definitely made such a jump. David James, 93, and James Capolupo, 91. So have guys consistently throwing the 90s has to feel good. And then Jay Starnish gets 810 player of the week, batted 550 this weekend. I also had 4 stolen bases, slugged 950.
Gunning had a really big weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we talked a little
bit. Gunning, yeah, 429 he batted.
Yeah, we talked a little bit last week on the podcast about what Mike means for this lineup and being able to put him in the 4 hole. Just really puts everybody in a great spot in the lineup. Because David Marshall's a classic three-hole hitter. You know, he's going to hit over 300 and be right around there as he did all weekend. You know, and Jace's electricity in the leadoff spot. And the lineup just has really good flow to it. And, you know, I thought that going into it, like, man, the lineup is – I really like the lineup. And all weekend, they were fantastic.
I don't think there's an easy out in the lineup. I think top to bottom, it's very sound. I mean, when you have Connor Vercolone or Paul Vossen in the 8-9 hole, no easy out.
Yeah, no, they're fast too. You know, not only do they handle the bat well, but they have speed and can create some havoc on the base pass. I mean, we had a really good offensive weekend, hitting .322, scoring 45 runs, but we also stole 11 bases. You know, so it's not just the 6 home runs and 8 doubles. It's the 11 stolen bases. Like, it was a great offensive performance to come out of the gate and kind of take some of the pressure off our pitchers. Cause, you know, I've told the guys, I think defensively and offensively, this is a team that is going to be able to swing it and score some runs. And it puts some of the pressure on the pitchers to kind of go do their job. But I think coming out of the weekend, the one thing that we're sure of is we've got 3 legitimate starting pitchers. You know, I think with Caps and Selena and David James, like those 3 guys are legitimate starters for us. And we've got, you know, with Gabe and Roggs, you have 2 seniors that can come out of the pen and help shut the door. So, you know, we need production from the middle guys, which I think we'll get. But as pitch counts start building up and starters start going 90 pitches or 100 pitches, you know, that's going to help. But, yeah, it was a great weekend. And I'm telling you, Gardner Webb's good. Listen, they went and Mercy ruled Davidson last night. So, you know, it was a 12-2 game against Davidson last night in a midweek game. So they're a good team. I mean, it was a really good showing. And that's our first time outside. I mean, we've never been outside. You know, we're coming from indoors to go down there and do that. So it's exciting.
So let's talk about this coming weekend. You're supposed to play Morehead State, but I know there's some changes happening. You're supposed to be playing in Kentucky now. It's going to be in South Carolina. Just if you want to go into it and explain what's going on this weekend, I'll give you the floor.
I don't know if we have enough time on this podcast to go through all the scenarios that we've been through. But, yeah, we identified last week, probably about Friday, when we were starting to play down in Gardner-Webb, that we were going to have some weather issues in Kentucky. There's a real cold front coming through. There's a bad storm kind of going through the mid-Atlantic on Thursday. So playing in Kentucky was not going to be an option. So, you know, they asked us if we'd be able to go down south, if we could meet them somewhere and play. Obviously, we were open to it. But, you know, we had to dot a lot of I's and cross a lot of T's. I'm very thankful to our administration for having our back, right? Because there was times where we had a 14 pod that we're going to play this weekend, and some of those schools' administration weren't allowing them to travel that far, where our administration had our back and was willing to help us out to play this weekend. So, you know, very thankful to have that kind of support and be able to go down there and play. You know, in a shortened weekend, you know, we're not going to travel on Thursday because of the storm. Friday, we should be able to travel. So we're, you know, make a long trip on Friday, leave early in the morning. We'll get on there Friday night. We're going to play 2 games on Saturday against Morehead, 9-inning and a 7-inning game. And then we'll wake up early on Sunday, play another game with Morehead, and then, you know, probably hit the road Sunday around 3 o'clock and make our way back and stop. We'll probably have to stop about halfway in West Virginia and get a hotel for the night and kind of finish the trip early Monday morning. So we can get back Monday around, you know, 1 or 2, which is good. You know, we can get the guys back and before our spring break weekend coming up. So it's important for us to play. You know, I'm
got to get ready for that spring break trip.
Yeah, and I'm nervous just in general about the weather. I mean, it's been a bad weather season so far, winter-wise. And, you know, I'm just afraid down the line that we could lose some games. So the chance to be able to go down and play three games, we're very thankful for, and glad that Morehead State was able to make those adjustments too. So, you know, it's been a lot of moving parts the last 48 hours. I can tell you that. I think there's been about 8 different teams that were involved in this. And at the end of the day, it's just going to be us and Morehead. So, but we're happy and, you know, we're going to go down to near my old stomping grounds, you know.
There you go.
We're going to be about 45 minutes to an hour from Erskine. So down in Lexington, South Carolina, a little Blowfish Stadium action. I think a little bit of a Hootie and the Blowfish reference there because that's where he's from. So it'll be cool. It'll be cool to go down there and play in the Columbia area. You know, I'm going to post something on Facebook, see if I can get some of my former classmates out there to come watch. So, yeah, excited to play.
That's good. And the more games, the better, because you guys got to get ready. Big weekend coming up next week. We'll definitely have to talk about that next Wednesday. But, Coach, always appreciate the time. We appreciate you guys tuning into the Baseball Rundown with Coach Raz. And this is brought to you by the Bunnies Online Network.